Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I'm really excited to teach you girls about financial wisdom and freedom. And I have one of my amazing clients here, Armine Bazikian. And what's the name of your company? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Armine Bazikian, as Dr. K mentioned, from Bazikian Law Group, and I'm actually an attorney here in Los Angeles helping people and couples plan for the unexpected.
Perfect. So I think that one of the most important skills that a woman can have in this day and age is to protect herself legally, financially, and to just kind of know the ropes in life. I have three daughters, and I see so many beautiful women who get so screwed by the relationships and the men and the problems, and they just haven't been told how to protect themselves. So shall we give our audience some boss girl tips to give them financial and legal protections, freedom, and how to be a boss girl going forwards? Let's do that.
Yes, definitely. So I would say the one thing that I see in my office is that the women that are married are unaware of the assets that they're holding onto with their spouse. They're completely unaware of how they hold the title to the asset, whether it's their husband alone or it's with them. So I think the first most important tip is to get educated on what it is that's under your name, what it is that you are the legal owner of, and what it is that your husband legally owns. Because depending on how you hold that asset, you might not have any rights to it during a divorce or at his death. So my job as the attorney is to make sure that when you've passed away, everything that's in your name passes to your loved ones. So if your husband has something titled in his name alone, that does not necessarily mean that if he's gone, you're going to get the entire thing. So the first tip would definitely be get informed, figure out what you have, figure out what your husband has, and just be overall educated about your assets.
That's so awkward. Like, how am I going to ask my husband that? I am also illiterate, and because I'm married for the last 15, 20 years and four kids, so busy, I turn it all over to him. But, you know, I know we have the house, it's in a trust or something, but it's difficult for women to even open the door to that conversation. But I am always the annoying person who's asking 85 questions to the accountant. And I feel like men don't do that. They just sort of sign the papers, go to the next meeting. They don't even know what the guy charges that's above and beyond his usual rate. So I think it's really our job to dive into that question, and don't be annoyed when your husband is annoyed and looks at you like, why are you asking me all these questions and don't you trust me? Because that's what happens.
Yeah, definitely be that annoying person when you're dealing with another professional. You want to know everything while they're alive. But I could tell you from experience, recently we helped probate an estate of a loved one, and it was her husband who passed away at a very young age. She had no clue what he had. We had to go through a discovery period where we had to investigate and hire a PI to discover what he had in his name alone. We came across a very large investment account that she knew that he had, but she didn't know where it was. Her name was not on there. So unfortunately, we had to go to probate. And the sad result was that she did not inherit that entire account. She only inherited one third of it. And the other two thirds was actually locked up away by the court in a custodianship account for her three little kids. And all three of them were under five. So, you know, in that circumstance, the court wants to make sure that it protects the children's interests as well. But it's just so saddening to me, because she, as a stay-at-home mom with no education, totally reliant on her husband, could really have used the money that is currently locked away in a custodianship account during the next 10, 15 years to raise her children. But she has no legal access to it. So make sure that you know what it is and how it's titled. The most important thing, I think, aside from knowing that you have a house, is looking and just asking the very simple question of who owns the property. Am I also on title? Because a lot of times during that purchasing process for the mortgage qualification or whatnot, these beautiful stay-at-home moms will be excluded off the title to the property because the husband is the one that's qualifying for the mortgage. Just because your husband is on the mortgage and you don't have a work history because you're a stay-at-home mom doesn't mean that you can't also be the legally titled owner. You could still be on title.
So we need to go back and look at our mortgage paperwork. And then if you're not on it, you need to just get your name put on the trust deed of the house, right?
Yeah, the title.
The title. So there's probably some paperwork, and we should go see a good lawyer like you and get that taken care of. But yeah, husbands are very paternalistic, and the whole legal system is paternalistic and skewed in the fashion of, you know, like, not, you can be a stay-at-home mom. You can be 50% of the relationship and build the home and grow the home and not have any title in it. How sad is that? This happens to so many women, I bet. So many women. And I have three daughters and I always want them to look out for themselves. So I tell them, you know, always have your own bank account. Even when you get married, keep it in your maiden name, your own bank account, your stuff that your parents gave you should stay with you. And it's your secret account. And just, so what if the husband doesn't know about it? And so what if he does know about it? It's still yours.
Yeah. So depending on what you had, so if it's something that you acquired during marriage, so if you came into that bank account and or your parents left you a big chunk of money before you got married, it's considered separate under California law. So once you convert it over, once you add your husband's name to it, or you take that chunk of money and you deposit it into your joint account, all of a sudden divorce proceedings come rolling around. It's half his, half yours. Just as a side note, it's always a good idea from a legal perspective to have a side emergency account that is just in your name that he doesn't have access to. And my husband's going to be hearing this and be like, where's your side? I think it's good for a woman to, and I took this from my mother, where, you know, you should have protection. You should have something that you're going to rely on, an exit strategy, so that if, God forbid, you are in a terribly, abusive situation, or you're in a very bad situation with your marriage, you can access that account, just enough money to get you out and get you situated with your kids so that you can move on to the next phase of your life.
Yeah, I think often in life we only see the rosy side. We don't plan or have a backup plan. And you really need that. I think you need to keep a backup plan where you keep things that were yours as a, you know, growing up in your maiden name and until you get married. And don't trust any man. Sorry. I love my husband. I trust him immensely. But I'm on the, I've been through too much in life and seen too many patient stories where lives are just completely destroyed by a person you thought you knew, and you just don't know when people change.
The important takeaway from this is that people change. You want to know what you have. You want to protect it. You want to guard it. And you want to make sure that legally you're entitled to what's yours. And you're right. The most disheartening moment is when you come across a lady who wasn't aware, who relied 100% on her husband, and all of a sudden husband is gone. And now she's falling prey to some financial advisor who specializes, quote unquote, in distressed women of divorce, or, you know, people who are the spouses of a deceased individual. There are people out there that prey on women whose husbands have passed away recently, or women who've recently gone through a divorce. You know, I've never met a financial advisor, for example, that says that their specialty is distressed men. But one in every five will tell me that their specialty area is focusing on women of divorce or women of a deceased husband who doesn't have any idea. And so you go from being under the hands of your husband to now all of a sudden being under the control of some male figure, right, who's going to tell you again what to do with your finances. Yeah. There's
predatorial. Yeah. Like, I specialize in being a predator on women, vulnerable women. Like, oh God.
Exactly. They're very vulnerable at that. And then you wake up 6 months down the line after your husband has passed away, and you're like, wait a minute, I could do some of this myself. It seems very complex, but it really isn't. It really isn't.
And it's important to emphasize, you might have the greatest guy in the world, but I'm sorry, people get in accidents, and even your loved, most cherished, trust ones, you know, you still need to have a backup plan, an emergency plan, and understand where the financial paperwork is, who's going to take care of the kids, and who's going to pay the mortgage, and do you have a life insurance policy, and all that kind of thing, too. What's another, so that was tip number two, and then what's another tip that you can give to younger women? I have a lot of women in their 20s and 30s who are my followers and fans on social media, so I'm curious what you would say to the 20 and 30-year-olds out there.
So I think my best advice for that millennial age group is to be aware. Like I mentioned, it kind of ties in with the first one, but a lot of times the husbands will hold on to assets in their separate names, and I can't tell you the number of clients that come in through my doors, couples where the wife knows that they have an investment property, and then once we pull the deed, we realize it's just in husband's name, and I can't tell you what negative consequences that has for her in the long run. So tying into that first, be educated, and then force or, you know, mandate that your name be put on there, because you want to make sure as the person that's taking care of, especially if you have young kids, that you are in total control of those assets and you don't have any other family members interjecting at your husband's death, that you have total control. Because what happens with death is the ugly, ugly little horns of every family member come out, and they all of a sudden start praying over you. And so the ugly side of everyone comes out. So make sure that you have the legal powers that you need in place if something were to happen to your spouse. I mean, nowadays, we do a really good job as the millennial generation mm-hmm. and people in their 30s and 40s of really focusing on self-care.
Yes.
And doing a great job of taking care of yourself internally and, you know, coming to you to take care of their external. And so much energy and time is invested in it. And I want that same energy and time to be invested in making sure that also your finances and your legal documents are in place.
Yeah. You should probably do twice a year a checkup, like you go every 6 months for your physical. Mm-hmm. You should probably audit your own life, like your finances. Am I putting away enough money for retirement? And am I, you know, are all my papers in order? And do I still want to work with this accountant who's charging so much? Like, just kind of audit your whole process. I try to do that, but it's very super challenging. It's really hard. Yeah, and if you're a young person, remember, put away always 10 or 20% of every paycheck should go into a retirement account. All of you girls can open a Roth IRA and have tax-free income when you get older, and you can start investing with E-Trade. It's like super cheap, costs like $1 to make a trade. You can all buy stock in Apple or whatever you want to buy, and it's going to go up. Use that money now. Power of compounding and stuff like that, that if you don't think about that and you're just spending all your money on Starbucks and fun mm-hmm. stuff and shoes and purses, you're going to pay for it in the long run. But you have the power of compounding. If you're 20 and you start putting away, you know, $100 a month, you're going to be a millionaire very shortly by the time you're 40, guaranteed. And that's just with a retirement account, right?
That would be a great question for a financial advisor, but definitely think about investing in your external and internal. So get with someone who does not prey on women, yes. first and foremost, someone you feel comfortable with. If that has to be another woman, great. You know, oftentimes I refer clients, my clients, to other professionals like financial advisors, but make sure that you are in a situation where you are taking care of you from internal to external. Make sure all of your legal documents are in order. And if you, especially if you have young children, the most concerning thing for a young individual with young children is who's going to take care of my kids. Make sure that your guardianship nominations are up to date and do an annual checkup. So at our office, we always invite our clients to come back every year for a free sit down with me. And we go over everything that's happened in the last year. You know, have you changed any of your assets? How are your kids doing? Do we need to make the trust more restrictive? They're doing great. Maybe we need to like loosen it up a bit. Right. So it's always a good idea to do an annual review, just like you go into your CPA mm-hmm. to file your taxes every year. Make sure you're keeping a running sheet of your assets just so that it's around the house and your successors can have it. And make sure you're actually making sure that those legal documents are up to date and in order, especially if you have young kids.
That is such amazing advice. I'm so glad I invited you to come in because it's really eye-opening to know, and you probably see it firsthand, what the trauma is that women go through and when they're getting a divorce, when they know that the house is about to fall apart and there's death in the family. But these are topics we need to know. So I definitely encourage all of my followers out there to come and see an amazing lawyer like my client. How can people find you?
So we are on Facebook, IG, and LinkedIn. I guess IG would be the Instagram would be the most favorable for a lot of your clients. So we're on IG under Bazikian Law Group, and we have a lot of informational videos. So if you're nervous about going in and seeing an attorney, you don't have to. Go check out our IG page. We post a lot of informational videos, and just watch them and get to know the process, get to know the legal topics. And just by watching a few videos, I guarantee that you will feel more empowered than you did yesterday. And I think it's the baby steps.
Yes. How do you spell Bazikian?
Bazikian Law Group on Instagram.
And there you go. Everyone should go check that out. I'm definitely going to check that out. And I think that's as important as your facial health, as your financial and your legal health and getting all of your documents in order. And that's it for now, ladies. I want you to be brainy and beautiful and protect yourselves and always look out for self-care and the interest of yourself. You can find me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, and our website is www.beautybydrk.com. Stay smart and beautiful. Bye.